Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, and I'm your host, Red Snapper, and we're bringing you Boney James with Devon. He's got his man doing his thing, and that's that song that's out there now that's doing it, so we're going to be doing it live. So right now, we're coming on, and we thank you all for listening. This is Word Sexy Radio, and like I said, this is Red Snapper, and we've got some guests that's going to be here. We got a very special guest that I'm going to bring on, someone that's very dear to me, and I'm glad that she was able to make it, so we're going to get her on in a few minutes, and I'll let you know who she is in a second. But before we do that, we're going to get into a little bit of admin stuff. As you know, it's now hot here in Kansas City, so we got a lot of events going on, and we'll be bringing them as we do. We had a literary conference last week that we was involved with. It was the Book Lovers event of the year. It was here in Crown Center, and a lot of people was there, and we want to thank you all for coming out for the workshops for the readers, booksellers, writers, events, and everything, the evening parties that they had, and all the networking that was going on. So we thank you for that, and they will be coming back, I'm sure, pretty soon next year. It was at the Crown Center, for those of you who didn't know. So that's what's going on. But right now, what we're going to do is I'm going to bring my friend in and see how she's doing, because I haven't talked to her in a long time, but I'm going to bring her in right now. So we have Miss Kimberly A. Hams Henderson. How are you this evening?
I'm doing fine, Leonard. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine, but people know me as Red Snapper, so you got to call me that, okay?
open.
You cannot call me that government name that you know me by on the show. That can't be done. You know, we all have pseudonyms, and that would be mine. But how are you doing? It's been years.
It's been a long time. We won't say how many years. We'll just say long time.
Yeah, but let's leave it like that. Well, I'm just glad to see you out here writing. I'm glad to see you out here putting it together. I know we had spoken briefly a little bit. I think it was last year when you were starting the project, and you went ahead and made it happen. That's good. So tell us about that.
Well, the book is called Selfish Acts, and actually I wrote it, back in early 2000. I finished it in about 2002, 2003, and I just sat on it for a while and just recently thought, you know what, let's just make it happen. Let's
right.
go ahead and try to publish it, you know, and
okay.
so that's what I've been busy doing.
Okay, well, that's good. So, you know, as you know, the literary game is one that, you know, you can make or break yourself. And the way it is now, you know, it's not as hard as it used to be back in the day where you had to try to get someone to bring you into the game. Now, because of technology and a lot of things, you can kind of get stuff out there on your own. So how was your journey as far as you getting from writing your book to actually getting it published? What did you experience?
Well, I just found a company, a self-publishing company that I've been working with. It's been a surreal experience, you know. I mean, as far as writing, that just comes natural. But the business side, that's a little different. It's a lot to it. I'll just say
right.
that it's a lot more than what I had expected. But
right.
it's just been a beautiful experience, really.
Uh-huh. Okay, so tell us about the book. We want to know. But without telling the story, because we want people to go out there and get it, because we're going to let you tell them how they can get the book and if they want to come in and do some book sign-ins or anything like that. But kind of give us a little synopsis of what the book is really about. Is it a true story, or is it just kind of tell us what it's about?
It's a fiction. It's fiction. It's about a group of friends that grew up together in Kansas City, you know, Kansas,
uh-huh.
Kansas.
Right.
Just it goes through two characters. It's told through the two main characters, Stacy and Daniel. It just tells about their childhood and their upbringing, the different upbringings that they all had, the experiences that they all had, good and bad. It goes through just life experiences, and it goes through transformations. Both characters have a metamorphosis, you could say, you know,
uh-huh.
For both of them. But it was just joy writing it.
Okay. Well, we want you to relax because I can tell that you are a little nervous.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous. Yeah,
just kind of relax and just be yourself because this is you know, grown folks radio, and you know, we say we want to on here, and it's okay. I just want to relax. And this may, I don't know if this is your first interview, but like I said, if you notice, I didn't give you any questions because I don't like to on my show. I don't like to give out questions and have it pre-done for people. A lot of shows will do that, but I like for you to come straight from your heart with your answers. That's the reason why I didn't provide that for you. But I am happy that you're here. And so what does your family think about it?
My family is like 150% support, you know.
Uh-huh.
Everybody is just waiting for me to, you know, write another one. We'll say it that way.
So are you going to write another one?
Yeah, I've got another one actually in the works. So,
okay.
And I've got another idea for another one. So that, like I said, the writing part is easy.
Right.
It's easy. If I could quit my job and just do this full time, you know, that would be a great thing.
You might be able to do that. You never know. You just keep it going. But let me bring in my co-host, D.V. How are you doing this evening?
Good evening.
D.V., this is a special guest that we have on here, D.V. I'm going to say, D.V. Henn, he's an author as well. He's out of Houston, Texas. He's a good friend of mine, and I want you to meet someone that I grew up with, D.V., that is very special in my heart. She's always been there in my life, and she may not have known how special she was until now, but she's known me. D.V., she knew me when I was in the kindergarten, okay? So I want you to meet Kimberly A. Hams Henderson.
Good evening, Ms. Henderson.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm well.
Now, Devi, just because I told you that she knew me when I was in kindergarten, don't make her an old woman, because she's not, okay? I just want you to know. She knows more than you do.
She taught you when she was in kindergarten.
Her mother's a bitch. Her mother's a teacher.
Ah.
And I know her very well, yes. So, Kim, I'm now that I put you out like that, you know, DV, I'm sure you got some questions. She wrote this book called Selfish Acts, DV, and it's a fiction novel. It's her first novel, and I was happy to get her on because, you know, we got local authors here that do things, but we don't have them that do them in this manner. So I just wanted to bring her on. So if you got any questions for her, I know you haven't had a chance to read the book or anything, but kind of just give her some of the generic publishing questions that we usually ask on the show.
Okay. I don't know what Red asked you previously, but what kind of made you feel like, you know, this is what I want to write and this is, you know, at this point, what made you decide that you were going to sit down and write the story?
It just came out of me. I'll just say it like that. I was just, I've written short stories before. I've written poetry before. And one day at work, I was kind of bored. Got on the computer and thought, you know what, let me see what I can do with this. And I wrote a chapter. I let a couple of girlfriends read it, and they said, you know what, go with it. So that's pretty much it.
You know, so okay. Really there was no great tragedy, no life-changing epiphany. It's just like, hey, I got this story in my head. I'm going to go ahead and type it out.
Okay.
Yeah. It is fiction, you know, but life experiences, I think, create the fiction.
Oh,
okay,
course.
Kim. Now, Kim, you know I'm going to be asking you. Now, you know this is Word Sexy Radio. I don't know if you listened to this show before, but you know we talk shit on this show, Kim. So
okay.
I'm going to let you know. If you hear some cuss words and shit, don't trip. That's why I wanted to make sure your mother wasn't listening, okay? Because if your mom was listening, you would have seen a new Red Snapper tonight. She called me by my government name, man. I forgot to tell her that, man, when she came on the show. Anyway. Okay, so let me ask you this question, because, you know, this is the question you're going to get when you get out here and you start doing your book signings. I don't know if you've done any already or not, but how much of this fiction is really about you or someone you know in your life that you characterize your characters from?
Well, I'll say this. There's a part of me in every character. I've had people ask, you know, about the characters of the book, and I let them know. There's a part of me in every one of them. There's a part of me in every one of them.
Okay, because I can imagine. I'm just trying to think, because I'm remembering you and all this stuff. I mean, I'm going to have to get this book, Kim. I'm surprised I don't have one yet, but I'm going to have to go out there and support you so I can have this, so I can see what's going on with you, what you got going on here. So,
okay.
Now, go ahead, Dee Dee.
What's the premise of the book? I didn't even get to hear, like, a synopsis.
Right, okay. Well, if you don't mind, Kim, can you give him a synopsis just one more time, please?
Oh, sure. No problem. Yeah, it's about a group of friends that that grew up in the same neighborhood from childhood to adulthood. They kept the friendship. You know, they moved away, come back home. They just have this tight bond. Some of them, the bond is a little bit more in-depth than others. So you've got conflict between the friends, but when it all boils down, they realize they're friends. They're friends to the end.
So do you have any high school stuff, like the high school we went to, kind of sort of emulated in this book or anything like that? Maybe not the true names, but just kind of, okay, all right.
Yeah,
I know I
got to
get this book.
Some of the names, you know, I'm a true Kansas City, Kansas girl. I'm
right,
like, yeah. Okay.
That's right,
I'm
baby.
From the hood. You know,
there you go. There you go.
You know.
Okay.
So, you know, I did put some establishments in the book because I feel that, you know, if someone reading, you know, the book that's from Kansas City or wherever, from Virginia, from, you know, D.C., you put in, you know, areas where people know that gives them a better view of the book. Oh, I went there. Oh, I know Gates.
A connection.
Oh, I know. Right. Oh, I know.
Right,
I know.
Right.
You know, it gives them
connection. DV, I feel like DV, I'm about to start crying, bro.
Hey,
I'm gonna tell you, man, because this is something.
Man, we all been there. We all read a book from some author that we didn't know about, and it had, you know, settings that we knew about, and it's like, oh, for real,
right.
I know that place, you know.
But,
and it's like,
what gets me, DV, is because I know this woman. I know her, man. I mean, her mother fed me. You know what I'm saying? It's just one of those kind of things, you know. It just, she was there when I went through a lot of crises in my life, you know, when my parents passed. Her mom was there. You know, it's just a lot of things. And that's why I wanted to bring her on. So maybe you can see a sentimental side of me instead of me just talking shit all the time. But, yeah. But before we go any further, I want to see, there's an 816 number. I'm going to see if they have a question for you. It's somebody from home. So let's see if they have anything they want to say. If you don't hang up. But 816, state your name. Where are you calling from? And that first part is 332. So I'm not going to say any more of your number. Don't hang up, because sometimes when I do that, people get scared and they hang up. Okay, they don't have anything to say. They're just listening. All right, so we'll just go for it. But so you came up. Now, is these some of the characters that you have in your book? Are these some people that you actually went to school with or someone that you knew? Are you a character in the book? I know every character has a piece of you, but are you kind of part of are you a character yourself with a different name, or can you kind of explain that a little bit?
No.
He has made a person up. Right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I made every one of them up, and yeah. every character made up.
Okay. Well, I got to get this book.
Yeah, so
I want to see how
Leon, that's certainly not Red.
No. Red is not probably in there at all. At least the way you know him, because when I was a kid, I was this little nerdy guy, or we called ourselves bookworms back in the day, so.
Yeah.
I know that I was not who you know now in that book. So you probably would laugh like, I don't know what, DV, if you read and I was a character in there. It would be funny. But I'm just glad that she did it. And I definitely want to get the book. So have you been invited to do any book signings or anything yet?
Not as of yet. I'm still getting the book out there. I'm still, like I said, this is all new to me. It's exciting, though. You know,
right.
The whole process. I'm just taking one day at a time.
Well, that's a good attitude to have. That's a good attitude because, you know, one thing I would give you, if I had to give you some information or any advice, I would say that, you know, there's going to be reviews, there's going to be people, and you know everybody's not going to like your book. You know, it's just the way it is. People will love it, some won't. You got people that's going to tell you they like the book and they really don't, you know, because they feel like, okay, she's my friend, or, you know, we don't want to hurt her feelings or something, you know. So that's why when people come on Word Sexy Radio, they usually don't like to come on here because we will tell the truth. But, I mean, we don't hold shit back. We just let it go, and that's what it is. But I'm going to get your book. I know it's going to be good. I'm not worried about it. I want a signed copy from you, though. So we're going to have to work that out. You know, Kim, I got 14 books out. I'm gonna have to make sure you get at least one of them. And what is your sister? Okay, what is your sister now? Well, now, you know, I know your sister. I'm not gonna mention her name on the radio, but what does she think about it?
She supports it. All three of my sisters. Yeah, they support it. They support it.
You got three sisters. I only know one. Well,
sisters.
No, that's right. You do, don't you?
I've got two older sisters. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and each one has bought a book. My oldest sister, when she realized I wrote a book a long time ago, you know, she said, "What's wrong with you? You could be doing this. You could be doing this for real. You know, you could be doing this for, you know, professionally. You know, why are you just holding back?" You know, I said, "Well, it wasn't so much of a joke to see if I could do it. I just wanted to see if I could do it."
Right. Well, that's kind of how I started writing, and I just chose erotica of all subjects. But, yeah, I guess the freak in me decided to come out, you know. But anyway, it was just one of those things.
I mean,
we just decided to write, you know, one day. I was reading some other authors, and I was like, man, you know, they write, and why can't I do that? So I just tried it out, and I've been going ever since. And, DV, I'm sure you have a story you can tell on how you got started on yours.
That led me to my next question. I mean, you know, like I know, that whenever you publish something, it opens, you know, you up to a world of criticism, you know, critiques,
right,
compliments,
right.
The whole deal. So, I mean, my question is, at what point did you decide, okay, rather than keep this to myself, I am going to publish it? At what point did you say, this is what I'm going to do, you know, and you did it.
Great question.
Because I really don't like to work. I told my husband, I said, you know, if I could do this full time, it would be great. You know, and why not try to get paid for something that you like to do? You know,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
We all wish we could.
Yeah. For me. I mean, I love to write. I do. I know it brings people joy. I've been to, you know, a book club where they read my book, and they were just excited about it. And the way they told me, they said when you talk about it, you're the characters. They come alive. She said they're like real people. And that's what I like.
That's always the best compliment, you know. If they tell you, I couldn't relate, there's one of two things. Either they love your book and they relate to the characters, or they can't relate, you know.
Yeah.
And it is the biggest heartbreak when they're like, man, why did this character do this? Because I don't understand what, you know, their motivation. And,
right.
You know, that kind of lends to a big disconnect with the reader. So whenever you hear those compliments that they can always relate, you will hear it a lot. But take it as a badge of honor, I'm telling you. Because there are some people who just think it's a run-of-the-mill compliment. Like, oh, thanks. But that is honestly the best compliment you can ever have, that your characters are real people.
Right. Yes, exactly. Because character development is very important when you do come up with your writing. I mean, the characters, in a lot of cases, if the characters are developed in such a manner, in such a great manner, you might not even have a good story, but the characters are so intriguing that the story will be something because the characters. So how they react to certain things. So that is very important when you come up with a great character or characters to drive the story the way you want it to go. And I like when my characters take over because they'll tell me that they want to do certain things, and I'll say, okay, maybe I'll let you or maybe I won't. But I talk to my characters. So, you know, I might tell them, hell no, you ain't doing that shit. Oh, yeah, you can do that. You know, I mean, I actually talk to them because they're people to me, even though I've created them.
Yeah.
So that's just the way it goes with that. But I'm glad that you already are experiencing that in your writing and stuff and that you're getting that and you see that because a lot of people don't. They think, well, you know, they write about their lives or whatever. They think that because it's important to them or it means something to them that it's going to mean something to everybody else. But the thing is for it to mean something to me, you got to explain to me, you got to come up with such a manner on how you explain the story and why it's important for me to know about what you did in your life. Because, hell, shit, anything. I mean, I can write about my life, but that doesn't mean everybody wants to hear about it. So, you know, that's the thing that's important that you have to kind of look at. So, but I just want to let everybody know that's listening, if they want to call in to talk to our guests, the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio, and this is Grown Folks Radio. And those of you who have not listened to me, you know this is Grown Folks. We say what the fuck we want to on this show, so that's what we do. All right, so we got our 913 number. I'm going to see if they have a question. And when I bring you in, 913, please do not hang up. We just want to see if you have a question for our guest. And your first part of that is 562. State your name, where you're calling from. Do you have a question? You do not. Okay, I'm going to leave you there. Do not hang up. All right, so sometimes we get people ask questions. Sometimes they just want to listen. Of course, these are people that's in the area, so they know who this is or that's being interviewed. And there was another author that's supposed to be on here as well, but she was young, and I hope she does come in. Why I don't, because she's a urban fiction writer, but she is a young woman who I would like to talk to offline first before we brought her on the show because of the nature of our show, if that makes sense. You know, she's like 18 years old, but she's writing urban fiction, which I would have to read that to see how does she know so much? Anyway, not that she couldn't at that age, but
experience.
Yeah. But I was talking to DB, I was talking to Ashley Antoinette, who you know is part of the Ashley and Joquavius husband and wife duel.
Right.
And they have some authors that want to come on as well as them in the future. So we're going to work and see if we can get them on. They got some new stuff coming out with Murderville and all that. So she kind of touched base with me today asking to come on Word Sexy Radio. So we do have some people that are not scared to come on our show. You know, and they're like, I mean, they're a hit out there anyway. As far as urban fiction, they're like the king and queen of that shit right now. So, I mean, if you ever read any Ashley and Joquavius, any of their stuff, I don't know if you do that in that DV, but...
You know, I have not, and that's mostly because I haven't had a chance to sit down and read a lot of stuff that I downloaded.
Right.
And, you know, just busy. So, I mean,
right.
when I get to, you know, this summer I should have more time, so I kind of
right.
committed to doing that. But, you know,
so
now
Kim,
I have motivation.
Right. So let me ask Kim. Kim, your second book that you're working on right now, is it a sequel to this one, or is it an independent book?
It's
something different.
It's something
okay.
different. Yes, it is. Yes,
okay.
it is. But I've had people ask me, do you want to write a sequel? Why don't you write a sequel so we can see where these people are now? But I feel, you know, I brought closure to everybody that was in the book. To every character, there was closure.
Okay.
And I'm just not one to, you know, write a sequel just because.
Right.
You know, because sometimes sequels, you know, they fly, sometimes they don't.
Yeah,
you know?
and it definitely depends on how you end the first book, on whether you have people coming back. Because I have a series called Scandalous Motives that's out there, and it's 6 books. But the only reason why it was 6 books, because I had so much shit to write that I kept on keeping them open where the characters, the people wanted more. But like you said, you got to kind of gauge how you put the characters out and if you've got closure with them, whether you need to have a sequel or not. Because you can always spin off one character from it, or you can, you know, that's one thing about writing. When you have multiple characters and there's different things that's going on, you can spin from it or you don't have to. So that's good.
I mean, I'd be the first to tell you, I'm not a fan of sequels only because people do it to death. You know,
they overdo it.
And the thing is, it corrupts an original idea. You know,
right.
it becomes this, you know, hey, everybody likes this book. I mean, if you want to take it and expound on one character in their life, that's something completely different. But to rehash the same character after 19, you know, after 3, 4, 5 books, it's like, man, how much story does this person have to tell? It kind of ruins the imagination aspect because it means you have none left. And the only thing you're doing is regurgitating the same person with the same storyline, but give them a different set of circumstances. And that's not imagination. That's not creative.
Yeah. Damn, man, you just slammed me. No, I'm just playing. No, but
yeah, and I'm talking about
but because, and I understand what you're saying. That's because I what I had to do is only reason why I did the sequels to the series that I did do is because the people they wanted more, and they convinced me into one. And there was I did leave openings for more. So I am done with these characters. The book that I'm writing right now is the last book. And all those characters that was in that book are not even in this book. These are like prequel books. You know how you go back and somebody wants to know how something began. You got some characters that are maybe one or two that was probably in the later books that might be in this one at a younger age. But you're talking about them in a different light, so it's not the same thing. This one that I'm writing right now is definitely the last of it, and there's never going to be any more of these characters. And a matter of fact, in book 5, if anybody read my series up to that point, would know that all the damn characters are dead anyway.
Okay.
So we'll just leave it at that. But the book that's being written now is a prequel book of an organization that was created called The Guild, and people wanted to know how that organization became about, so I'm writing that. But I've already started a whole new different set of things going on anyway. But I do agree with you. You can only sequel so much. I mean, how much can you tell about the damn person? You know, I mean, you know, unless some, you know, and what gets me, especially with some of the urban fiction stuff, and I'm not dogging that genre. I'm just saying, you know, how they have somebody go to jail, here they come back and shit. And, you know, they gotta come back to power and all this. You know, I mean, you know, some people like that. There is an audience.
I mean,
for that.
You know, really. I mean, you can only go through so much. You know, one person can only go through so much. But if you keep putting this person in sequel after sequel after sequel, it's just monotonous. I mean, whether the book ends happy or not, I just want the people that are reading it to see that the characters have closure. That gives the reader closure.
Right.
My thing is how many times can you read a storyline where somebody got one more drug deal to make before they out the game forever? And it's like,
and you know that's usually what it is, that big score, that last score.
Right, that last
score. We can ride off in the sunset. We ain't doing it no more.
But
I mean,
it's not
doing that shit back with Superfly. I mean, back in the day, I mean, that's what happened to Superfly. He was trying to get that last deal.
Like,
so he can get out the pimp game.
How many times can you rehash that storyline? I mean, if you want to do something completely different with it, and like Red and I always say, if you want to make it yours, by all means, do so. But don't tell me the same story I done heard, you know, umpteen times.
Yeah,
because you know,
I get tired of hearing them. Dude goes to jail, woman takes over business, other drug dealer takes over her, and they together. Dude gets out of jail. Now he want to get his shit back and his woman back and everything. How many times can that be told?
Apparently infinite.
Right. So I understand where you come from with that. But I hope that whatever it is that you're writing right now, that you get much success in that as well. How is your this book that you have out now, how long has it been out and how well is it doing?
I don't know how long it's doing. I really don't want to. Are you talking to me or are you talking to you?
I'm talking to you. You're the
okay.
guest. Stevie's
so,
not the guest. No,
I'm
the,
okay. it's been out since January, I believe. I don't know how well it's doing. I know that the response I get from people who buy it, I'm too scared to look and see how well it's doing.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Does that make sense? Because I don't want to
be
disappointed.
It makes a whole lot of sense because
yeah,
I don't.
We
I,
all
I,
do
I got,
that.
Look,
we
I got 15 books out, Kim, and I don't check.
Yeah.
I just wait for the if they give me good reviews. I mean, not that I don't want to hear that bad ones, because I've gotten some of those, and I'm not even going to talk about that tonight, DV. But the thing is, you know, I know that everybody's not going to like your book. But the thing is you don't look for the negatives. I mean, and it seems like when you get to a point like as many books as I have out, I have gotten to points where I'm like, you know, I don't know if I should write no more. And then as soon as I decide that one person always seems to say something to me to drive me to go forth, that they really appreciate what I'm doing. And that's all I really care about. It's not that I'm trying to get rich or anything. Well, I like the money, but I want to be able to, if that one person read it and enjoyed what I wrote, is what I'm looking for.
Being an author is just like any other job. It tends to be thankless. You know, but it only takes one person, one time to tell you that, hey, I really enjoyed your book, for you to be like, now it's time for you to write my next book.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
But, you know, and don't get upset, Kim, when you get people that do reviews on your book and they haven't wrote shit in their life, but they're trying to tell you how good or bad your book is. That does happen, and, you know, it's amazing. But that's the literary game.
I mean, criticism, I'm cool with criticism. You know, if you liked it, oh, that's just fantastic. If you didn't like it, really, I don't want to know why.
Yeah, exactly. Tell us why, and maybe we can work it out and fix it in the next one. You know, a lot of times people want to slam you and say stuff about this and that or whatever. Like, I'm going to go ahead and say this. Somebody tried to say I wasn't doing safe sex in my book. That's fine. That's your opinion. You know, but if you want to give a negative review because of that, I mean, it just messes me up, saying it's not realistic. I don't think that everybody uses rubbers, and if they do, that's fine. But the thing is when you write something, you know, I mean, everybody's situation is different. You know, you think about how many times does people really, really think about certain things, you know, like in your situation with your book. I don't know if you have any sex scenes in your book or anything like that, or any sexual anything, or relationships or any of that kind of stuff. But I'm sure that there's realism in your book, whether you have it or not. And it's fantasy. So in my world, maybe people don't get AIDS or that stuff, that sort of thing. But then again, they say, is it not realistic or not? It's not the point. That's not what the book is about right now. It's not a self-help book. It's just a book about a situation of what people are going through at that moment, and they didn't happen to catch nothing. So it's just different, you know. Huh?
Yeah.
It's a fantasy. You know, you can't really get mad at people for... I don't understand that, you know. Don't get me wrong. I've read some books that are completely not realistic. You know, you're like, that mess don't even make sense. You know, but in terms of sex, and, you know, I've told you this, Red, before, in terms of sex, anything goes, you know.
Right.
If you write, you know, some woman was having sex with a dragon, and damn it, you know, it was with a dragon. So be it.
Yeah.
Call it bestiality,
you know,
call it fantasy.
And there is a genre that's out there for it. It's called fantasy. And when people write that kind of stuff, they have sex with animals or whatever it is. You know, if it's not bestiality or whatever, if it's a fictitious animal like a dragon or something like that, then that's the story that they're writing. I mean, or a unicorn or whatever. I mean, you know, it's just whatever. But the thing is there is an audience for that. So, you know, as far as this person writing and saying, well, I have to give you one star because how can she have a pussy like kryptonite? Everybody wants to fuck her. Okay, well, I mean, it's fantasy, and people do. There might be somebody that wants to do that. You never know. So, and she doesn't catch any diseases. She just does everybody. Well,
maybe,
okay.
Maybe, she got a natural
maybe you
want to
be like that. I don't know. Anyway, it happens. But anyway, so you're writing a new book, and when do you anticipate that, Kim, that coming out? Should it be like sometime in next year or so? Or
I'm thinking, yeah, probably sometime next year. I've got to buckle down and just get back on the computer and just start writing. I've got ideas in my head how I want it to play out, but I'm not 100% sure, you know, on the ending.
That's good, though. See, what you should do, and I'm sure you do this, but what I always do is I always write an outline. And what the outline does is not concrete. It's a living document that you just put down your ideas of how you would like the book to go. And if you can change it, it doesn't. Nothing says it has to go in that order. And most of the time when you write and you have an outline, it doesn't go in the order of the outline anyway.
Mm-mm.
But it just gives you a guideline of how you might want to go. You know what I'm saying? And then you might get an ending. Shit, you might be in the bed and wake up tonight. Damn, I want the ending to be like this. You know, it whatever. It just. But the guideline is just. It's just there to help you. The outline just helps kind of give you a guide of how you may want it to go or what your character might be thinking or something of that nature. But there's nothing saying that it has to be exactly the way the outline is. But that's just my way. I don't know. DV may have his own way of doing how he does it, I'm sure.
Nope. I write several outlines. But like he said, you never stick the outline. But it gives
you
a guideline. It gives
that's all.
You a basis. You know, but ultimately the most important thing to do is to write. Because no matter how many, you know, like I do this, I kind of think myself out of writing sometimes where I'd be like, I have all these ideas in my head and I'm like, I want to do that. Then I sit down at the computer and my mind is complete blank.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, you may run into those. You may be one of those writers that writes something once every couple of years. You know, there's some great writers that do that. But, just have it in your head. And write it down wherever necessary so that you never forget it. Because remember, a lot of these great ideas that we have, if we don't write them down by the end of the day, we done forgot them.
Absolutely.
Really.
Yeah,
like,
there you go.
You know, I text myself ideas sometimes, you know, if I'm not near, you know, paper and pen, so.
Right. Yeah, well, what I was going to ask was, and there's no right way of this, but this is a question. Title first or story first? Which one do you do?
What,
I'm talking to you, Kim.
Again?
The question is, did you come up with the title first or did you come up with the story first and then the title?
I came up with the title first for the book I published.
Okay.
Yeah, I came up with the title first and then I just went from there. And it's like what you guys were talking about, you know, outline. I had no outline. I just wrote chapter after chapter after chapter.
And guess what? There's nothing wrong with that. I've written
a
couple of books like that. But a lot of times I try to make myself have an outline. But the thing is sometimes you might write a book and it's all in your head and it's enough to get it out there.
Yeah.
So you know, that's it. And like I said, there's no right way. I just said the outline is just something that'll give you a guide to use. But I'm the same way. When I write a book, I always, for some reason, I'll get the title first. The title comes to me, and I write the whole book around that title. Some people write the book first and then get a title. It just depends.
Yes,
or they might be, you know, some people might be writing, and then a chapter will come up, and that'll drive the rest of the book. It just depends. There's no right way, what I'm saying. But I usually like to come up with a title, and then I just work around that title. But that's just
I will disagree with you on that aspect, Rhett, because the right way is your way. You know what
I'm
saying?
There you go.
Nobody can tell you what way will work best for you.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you always need to keep that in mind. People are like, well, will work for me? Who cares? Because
that's right. Because I know an author who writes using Excel, and I don't still know how the fuck she does that, but
man,
that's where it works for her.
My God.
You know who she is.
I'm a computer.
She writes her books using Excel, and she puts it together like that. Whatever way works for you, to get it to become the end result that you want out there is what you do.
Right.
And the outline don't have to be nothing but just a bullet comments. That's what I do. I put down character is doing this. Character wants to do that. I want character to do this. This character finds out
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, it takes it in the butt. Yeah, I like that.
There you go. There you, it's just like that. Right. So, but do you have any questions of us that you want to ask us? I mean, we've been asking you questions for the last hour almost. Is there anything that you would like to ask us?
How long have you guys been writing? And as far as, like I said, the creative side and the business side, how do you make it work? How do you combine the both to work for you?
Okay, DB, you want to go first?
Oh, that's easy. I get somebody else to do that. Like, that's why I have my partner Melody for it. And the reason why, because this is the thing. I am an introvert by nature. All right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like people, and I like distance. So as long as I can those are, you know, a few of my idiosyncrasies that I typically keep people at arm's length. So to try, you know, me writing a book and exposing myself to all the criticism is not really my idea of a fun thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, it was kind of, you know, I was like, I don't want to put myself in that perspective. I'm happy where I'm at. And, you know, my friend Melody, she was like, well, look here, you know, either you can write this story or you can have somebody else write the story wishing that you had written it. So, you know, faced with that, I was like, okay, you're right. You know, I don't want to be that guy that wish I had. So I did it.
Okay.
And I'm happy that I did do it, but I'm still me. I'm still that guy that, because I itemize everything. Everything has an order, and I like to finish certain things before I like to start others. So sometimes Melody comes and she'll smack me in the back of the head like, look, you know, you keep putting this off because you're trying to prioritize everything. You can't do that.
Okay.
So sometimes that's what you may have to do. You may have to get somebody else to give you a swift kick in the ass and be like, look, you need to be on it. This is what you need to do. Who, what, when, where,
right.
why, how.
Right.
And that's how I do it. That's how I'm able to focus and maintain my sanity, simply because I have somebody else reminding me that I have other obligations other than just life. I need to have fun and that I need to, you know, this wonderful story that I have in my head, I need to let other people read it.
So, DB, how long have you been writing? She wants to know how long you've been writing.
Literally, honestly, you know, I'm not going to do what other authors say. I've been writing since I was in the womb, you know. Mom, you know, she sent a pencil
right,
and pad
right.
down the, you know, the placenta, you know, had it down the umbilical cord, and here I am. No.
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't really start writing until maybe about, I would say, 3 or 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only reason why I started writing is because, like, I just had some idea. Like, in all honesty, guys, I was like, I should write a memoir because I've had some crazy experiences in my life, you know. And what I did was I decided to write, like, a few notes on some of the experiences that I had. And I was like, you know what, that's a little too personal. I don't want people reading about me. So I created a fictional story, you know, with some of my personality traits, you know, like we all do. That very first story, it's us. You know, every one of those characters in us has a little piece of us so that we can, you know, basically look at ourselves. So that's what I did.
And
you
that's what I was saying about, you know, when people ask me about the characters, you know, are you in this book? Well, I mean, yes, I am. Every character is a part of me. I mean,
yeah,
anybody who's
right,
every character is going to have some type of, you know, trait that you have.
Right.
So,
because you're the one
writing.
I think
that's what makes it.
That's you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I've been actually publishing since 2009, but I haven't been writing since the womb, but I had been writing a little before that, but I wasn't serious about publishing until 2009 when I put out my first book. And the only reason why, like I said then, is because I saw, and people that's listening to me that write urban fiction and all that's probably going to be pissed off what I'm going to say, but I saw all these people that was writing that was just putting stuff out there. And not saying that you have to be educated or anything, but I mean, it's just that they were putting shit out, and I was like, damn, I can write. Let me do it.
I can do better than that, at least.
So I can do that. So I started writing, and I got into an erotic story that I thought was nice about characters from Kansas City, and I just kind of gave them some intellect and gave them jobs where they were educated and just had them doing freaky things in the city, basically.
Yeah.
and that's what it was. So I started from there, and it kind of went from there, and then the fan base started growing and enjoying it. And I saw that my imagination that I had when I was young, I did have one. So I started kind of putting it into perspective in characters of making them up and putting them in books. And here I am, 14 books later. But, you know, it's just one of those things that I saw that was there in me that I wanted to do. It just didn't birth itself until then. So I'm not one of those authors that was writing since I was 12 years old and, you know, knew then that I wanted to be an author. I mean, how in the hell you know that shit at 12? But some of these people say, I was writing when I was 9 years old, and I wrote my first story from my teacher, and she said, you should be an author. And ever since then, I wanted to be an author.
Grade.
That's bullshit. But anyway, that ain't the way it works. All right. So,
I write because I like to write. I like the way it makes me feel. You know,
right.
It's a part of me. Like I said, you know, I was just bored at work one day, and I thought, you know what, I wonder if I could do this. And I just started to write down characters and everything and wrote a chapter. I let a couple of girlfriends read it. They were like, okay, so what happened next? I said, really?
Right.
Okay, well, let me get back and start writing. Okay, gave them the next chapter. How's that?
There you go.
Okay, well, what's going to happen next? So that's how it became. That's how it came about.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's how it came about.
But you know, and I tell people this, everybody, and it's kind of narcissistic, but it's the truth. The reason why we write is because we think we can do a better job. We believe we can do a better job than what's currently out there.
And let's be honest, that is the reason why I wrote the shit that I did. I ain't going to say shit, but the story, because I wanted to see how far it would go. And it started going far, and people really wanted to know about these characters. So I said, well, let me go on and see how far it goes. And that's all the journey has been for me, is just to see how far we'll go and see how far what they want. And now it's to the point where people are craving the books. They want what I write. And that's fine. I'm good with that. And if I'm like you, Kim, if I could sit back and not work a job and all I have to do is sit and write books every damn day or do something every 3 months, have something out there and get paid, hell, I'll be doing that.
Thank you. Yes.
You know, but the thing is, it's not like that now. I mean, I'm making money from my books, but I'm not getting rich from my books.
No.
And a part of that is most of it is me, because I'm not out here marketing like a lot of these people who have time to do it. You know, that's the most important thing of writing, is you're definitely going to have to market, okay? You know, if you have, you asked us a question about the business side of it, well, let me say this. A lot of people don't want to do the business side. It's like DV. He'd rather just write. He might want somebody else to market him and put him out, to have a publicist to do all that. If you can afford to do that, then that's great.
Right.
But if you are a self-published author like we are, most of us, what we do is we have to promote ourselves, because who knows us better than us? Unless you can pay somebody to put you out there, you're going to have to promote yourself, and that's how you get more people to know who you are.
Yeah.
So that's what we have to do.
We should have a show based, you know, strictly on marketing, you know, bring some marketing experts.
Well, we can do that, DB. That's not a problem. You know, I always told you, you know, if you wanted to do something like that, we can definitely do that. That's not an issue. We can do that. So why don't you set that up, DB, and we'll let me know when you want to do it, and we will put that in, that segment
I'll,
in, and we'll
I'll
definitely
put
do
Melody
that.
Right on it.
Get Melody right on it. Well, that's what we're going to do. So, yeah, we need to do that, because she is a great marketer. She
Thank
does know
you.
How to put stuff out. She is absolutely magnificent. I wish I could write for your company so that she can do that stuff. But I don't know why. But anyway, back to our guest, back to you. Now, you said you went through a publisher. Now, I'm going to ask you, you went through a self-publishing company, and I know you got burnt because you paid probably to have your book published. So what I'm going to tell you is you don't have to do that unless you just like what they did. Now, are you satisfied with what you went through with them?
I want to say
just be honest.
Because,
well, just say what you feel.
Well,
say what you feel.
Yeah. I think because it was a new process, it was really euphoric. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, my God, this is just great. This is awesome. They're going to do this for me. They're going to do that for me. You know, but now I'm beginning to see, you know, what I paid for wasn't that much.
Right.
I was about to say that.
Especially when you got to market yourself anyway or pay them to.
And second,
you can go on CreateSpace or any other publishing that's free that's out there. And now Nook has a new one that's out there now that actually edits for you. They will edit for you and everything for free. So, I mean, you can get these books out. And, you know, that's what's messing up a lot of these mainstream authors. These are the authors like Eric Jerome Dickey and a few of those people. That feel, and I'm not saying he's feeling this way, so people don't take this back and say I said this shit. But what I'm saying is there are some authors out there that feel like because of the new aspects of the way to publish and the way they didn't come through, they came through in a harder way, they said, than what we're doing, that they feel like it's unfair that we could just put out a book and they had to go through the process to be known and all this. Well, I'm sorry, this is technology. But you don't want to just put some garbage out either. You want to make sure that everything that you got is edited correctly and all of that, because you want to make sure that you got a product that represents you in the light that you want to be represented in, and not as some throwing some garbage out there. So that's the reason why I asked that.
Okay. Yeah.
Stevie, I know you got something to say on that.
Oh, you know me.
If I knew then what I know now, you know, it was a lot.
Right. Because I went through Arthur House. I'm gonna tell you, I went through Arthur. My first three books. Maybe four was through Arthur House. And Arthur House is a company that you pay and they will take your money. And you don't have to have your shit edited or nothing. They will put it out there. And then they'll ask you after it's out there, hey, we want to work with you. We can edit it for you if you pay us this, or we can get you book into a screenplay if you pay us this. We can do all this if you pay us this. Because they gotta make money.
Yeah, the Kirkus Review. You know, they called me about the Kirkus Review. And I said, well, that sounds cool. Okay, you know, this gets my book out and it gets a you know, a professional review and da-da-da-da-da. And they gave me the price. And I'm like, whoa, Nelly, hold on.
Right. I mean, you know, it's a business for them. You know, and like I said, a lot of these mainstream authors are upset because they have art. Well, see, they got it made because they have people that do all that stuff for them, okay? So I say, and DV, I'm sure he agrees, yeah, we have to do a little bit more than they do because we have to make sure it's edited. We have to pay someone to do all that. It comes out of their money for them, okay? They get it done, but it comes out of there before they get their money, before they get any royalties or whatever. You know, all that stuff comes out. But we have to get that done if you want it to look right when it gets out there. So, yeah, I think everybody, I mean, if you look around, everybody's an author now. If you look all over Facebook, every author, so-and-so author. I mean, there's so many damn authors out there now. I mean, you know, and I'm not saying that in a negative. I'm just saying that just everybody can be an author. If you just put, if you publish half a damn book with 10 pages in it, you know that ain't a book to me. You're a damn author.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's just the way it is. The game is big, and you might have one book out, and the next thing you know, you ain't heard of no more. So it just depends on how well you want to stay out and what you want to do. So
true.
And if you're doing it because you love it, you're going to stick around, first of all. Yeah, you want to get money. You want to get paid. But the main thing is you got to love writing because you have to put a lot into this. People just don't understand that. You don't just put a book on the shelves and it's just going to sell. A lot of people think that you write, it gets on the shelf, all of a sudden it's just going to automatically come off because people just know you and they just like your ass. It don't work like that.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
Did he knows?
Yeah, I mean, the key to being successful in anything is everything. It requires you to have full knowledge of it and to take advantage of every opportunity that you can, not just some of the time, but all of the time and every time. You know, so I mean, Red and I, you know, we talk about this all the time. My philosophy has always been this: there's nothing. Everybody deserves to tell a story, but not everybody needs the same medium, because there's a lot of garbage out there that we're putting out, and it makes the people who are not putting out garbage who actually do this for a living, you know, it makes us all look bad, because there's some people like, hey, you know, this is a fast way to make a buck, and you know, I don't need to go through anybody. I can just do whatever I do. You know, right. they put out a book that's 10 pages long, like, hi, it's a book, and you paid $1 for it, and people are upset. So now, you know, it's kind of buyer beware.
Right.
My thing is it will always be this. I think if you want people to take you seriously, you gotta be serious.
Right.
So,
yeah.
That's just it. I mean, I could care less about what you choose to write. Just do the best at it that you can.
Yeah.
I mean, it's less than anything else. Less than anything else.
Okay, right now, I'm looking right now, DB, not trying to cut you off, but just to give you a perfect example. Somebody said they wrote a novel. I'm not going to say their name. The book is out there, and they say they got 77,000 words, which is good for a book. But then you got some people that write a book, a novel, they want to call it a novel, and it's only got 10,000 words.
Yeah,
what the hell is that? But anyway, there's a question for you, Kim, on the chat room. They're saying, they said, hi, Kim, I got to read the intro to Stacy and Daniel, and I really enjoyed them. Makes me want to know what is next, okay? So I guess they need to read the book so they can find out, huh?
Yeah, read the book and find out.
Like, buy the book, huh? Stop being cheap.
Just read the book and find out. Yeah.
Right. I'm messing with this person. They know you, and I know her, too. Somebody we went to school with. And they're saying that they read their intro, so I'm going to say to them, just go ahead and read the whole book, and you will find out what's going on with Daniel and Stacy. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Like saying, you know, I read the title. Sounds interesting. Tell me more. Like, what do you
right,
mean?
Right.
All you read was the title? Come on.
Yeah.
You got to do better.
Or to read a synopsis, but that's it, you know. Right. So yeah, but yeah, Kim. Now, just so you know, the show is 2 hours, and you are welcome to stay as long as you like. You do not have to leave. You can stay here, but it's not required if you want to. Usually, what we do in the second half, we usually have a relationship subject, but the person that usually brings that, for some reason, is not in tonight. Don't know where she is. Ms. Cotton usually comes on. I don't know why she's not in tonight. May have to call her and get her, but. We usually talk relationship stuff, and it's usually questions that people bring up that they want to know about different issues and situations and stuff like that. Not personal about you and your husband or anything like that, but just situations that usually come up. Mm-hmm. So I don't want you to think that we're going to be talking about your relationship, because I don't want to know about your shit. But anyway, that's yours. But you know, usually that's what we do. But we got like 2 minutes left in this segment. DV, what's been going on with you, man? Have you you said you have been writing? Are you just not doing it now? You're on a hiatus, or what?
Man, like short stories, I've been submitting to magazines and whatnot, but I need to put my thinking cap back on because right now I'm just rocking the dunce.
Right. Well, you know, we're supposed to be doing this relationship book, which kind of fell over to the side, but we probably need to kind of look at that again, and maybe look and see, and kind of look at, do we really want to do this book?
Yes.
Is it needed? I think we do. So we would definitely want to get that done. So, Kim, what we're talking about is there's me, DV, and a couple of other authors that wanted to get together to do a relationship book that kind of talks about different things that we experience in relationships and why they're that way and what we can do to kind of help people to get through that or to recognize what it is so that they can either fix it or... You know, that kind of thing, because there's a lot of things that goes on. People do. They don't know why they do it. They don't understand why it's done or whatever. I mean, we can probably kind of I think we can help because, you know, Steve Harvey did his thing, and I think that was garbage. And then you got Michael Bazin, who puts out his shit. And I think, you know, these people, they, you know, I mean, everybody has an opinion. But the thing is we just wanted to you know, put something out to kind of talk about different subjects that we talked about on this show. So that's what we're talking about. But so do you have any more questions, though, Kim? Because, I mean, I'm just glad you're here. I have not talked to you. I ain't going to say how many years it's been. But I have
it's
not talked
here.
To you in so long. I'm so glad that you still want to talk to me.
I'm glad that you invited me on the show.
Right.
It's been great. It's been great talking to the both of you. It's nice meeting you. DD, it was a pleasure talking to you. Red Snapper, Yeah. I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so glad.
Yeah.
Yes. Because the government name, you can call me that when we're not on the air, okay?
It's all good. It's been really insightful, informative.
Okay.
I mean, it's my first radio show, but it was cool. It was cool.
So just remember, like I said, a lot of times
you took your interview
because because you know you on this show we let you be yourself. A lot of shows, like I said, they give you. They give you questions, you answer just those questions. You know, it's just, you know, that kind of thing. So, and then when you get a publicist, when you get to that point where you have a publicist, they might only want to schedule you for 30 minutes on this show, 15 minutes on that one or whatever. I mean, you know, the publicist, they do stuff like that. So, I mean, but I just wanted to, I'm glad that we broke your cherry, your interview cherry, and we have you on here so you can see how it is from the norm. So when you do other shows and when you do other things, you'll see how it is. So that's the reason why I was asking if you had any other questions or anything. And, you know, you can come back. Now that you've been on here, you can come back. You don't have to be invited. You can come back whenever you feel like you want to, and we'll get you on here and talk about what you got going on new and whatever you got going on. All right?
Looking forward to it.
That won't be a problem. So, all right. Yeah. So if you have any shout-outs, you want to say anything to anybody out there that might be listening?
To anybody that's listening, if you bought the book, thank you. If you haven't, go buy it.
Well, where can they get it? Tell us where you can get the book.
You can get it on Amazon.com. You can get it on AuthorHouse.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Somehow I knew it was Arthur House. I don't know why. I just knew that. But anyway, okay. I didn't even look at the book.
I just had it.
But you know, everybody goes through that. So, Kim, just understand, everybody that wants to really write and get something out, they do. They will pay. They will do, because the passion is there. They really want to get it out there. So that's the reason why I mentioned that. But I didn't even know that you had published through them. But anyway, so they can get you on Amazon. They can go to Arthur House. And if they want to get you for a book signing, is there any way they can get in contact with you on Facebook or something like that?
They can contact me on Facebook. I've got a web page, www.kahenderson.com.
Okay. I'll have to go check that out, too. So, yeah, I want my book, so I'm going to have to get with you. I will get with you later so I can get my book from you so I can see you again and hug you and all that and tell family I said hello and, you know, God bless you in your endeavors. And it wasn't that bad, was it?
No, it wasn't that bad at all.
All right. Well, it's up to you if you want to stay any further. Now, DV, what are we going to do now? We got 57 minutes. I'm going to play another song here. And then we're going to decide what we want to do because we don't have Cotton here for some reason. And, you know, she could have definitely been here to give us some shit to talk about. But she is not here. So maybe you got something. But let me get this one in. I'm going to play this quick jam. And then after that, we're going to come on back. But I don't know what I want to play, what I want to hear. Let me see. I'm going to play this one real quick, and then we'll be right back.
Hang up now.
never understand. I was a pilgrim for your love. A pilgrim for your love. A pilgrim for your love. I was a pilgrim for your love. It's like living in a nightmare. Like looking in the blackest hole.
Now I think I got in contact with her. She was saying that she tried to call in, but I didn't see her number pop up. So maybe we'll get her in a few minutes, DV, and see if she'll call in, because there is a number, but I don't know if she's calling using her normal number that she normally uses or whatever, because I recognize that number when I see it. But if it's a number from the area, then I won't know. So I'm going to have to get her to let me know that, because I don't want her to, you know, fuck it up for us. We want to talk shit with her ass, like we always do. So hopefully we can get her on here in a minute. If not, we'll just make it go for what we got. So
you just always know how to put things so eloquently. Like,
I do, don't I be fucking shit up. I just talk shit. If anybody knows me, that's what I do. I just talk shit. That was nice, because Kim, I talked a little bit, but I didn't really dog her out, man. And you know, like I said, Kim was a good friend of mine. I've been knowing her, man, for years. And I'm just glad that she finally put something out, because she's always been, you know how you know people that's, when you see them in school and they're real smart and all that, you know, and she just was one of those type of people. Okay, so here we go. We got Miss Cotton. How are you this evening, Miss Cotton?
Hello?
How you doing, Cotton?
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Hey.
We're doing just fine, and you always come in like you do. I love it. How's everything going with you?
It's going well.
It's going well.
Happy belated Mother's Day.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you.
Yeah, I forgot to tell Kim that. I sure did. But anyway, let me see. We got this 832 number now. And when I call, when I let you come in, 832, please do not hang up. If you have nothing to say, just be quiet. But if you have a question, state your name, where you calling from. Okay, 832. Okay, maybe they do not have anything to say. We'll let them go. All right, so right now, Cotton, we got 49 minutes. What you got for us? You know, we always wait on you to bring some something for us. I ain't going to say it's bullshit, but
well,
you know, a question that you have. You know, you always have something. What, you don't have anything? You're baffled tonight? Not you.
No, no, I always have something. I always have stuff, you know. I just wasn't sure that I was going to be on, so, you know.
Well, you know, I didn't see your number because I usually see numbers that come up, and that one didn't come up, this one that normally comes up.
I was listening. You guys were talking about publishing, self-publishing, and getting screwed by people and stuff. So.
Yeah, I was being a nice guy tonight because my friend from childhood was on here, and I cussed a little bit, but I just didn't go like I normally do. I ain't call shit now. Fuck it. I got y'all. Okay, so what are we going to do? What's going on in the mind of Miss Cotton with all them pretty pictures you got out there now with all the dresses on and everything, showing all them legs and everything? So what's going on with you?
No, you know, well, I'm supposed to do this calendar with Adriana Williams, and so some of those pictures, you know, I took, and the ones that I figured I wouldn't use, I would throw up there, and, you know, but then I was like, wait a minute.
Well, let me ask you this. Is this calendar for 2013? Because, damn, it's fucking May. I mean, is it for this year or is it next year?
That's a good question, you know. I appreciate some of my sisters, but some of them don't give out a lot of information, and so she didn't specify. I assumed that it would be for next year, so she's getting, you know, like I said, getting the information out. So getting information from some of the ladies is like pulling teeth.
Mm-hmm. Dee, you remember this lady? Remember she was on the show and they were talking about her. Somebody copied her sitcom, or not sitcom, but it was
you're talking about
show.
In-law from hell.
Right.
Yeah.
This is the same woman. Okay. Yeah.
You mean Coco from Cuckoo Puff lady.
Well, that's the one that's doing his calendar.
Oh.
So.
good luck with that one.
Yeah,
yes.
So, so hopefully that will come out, because those are some great pictures.
Watch out. In a few years, y'all stole that idea from her.
I decided that if nothing happened as far as me working with her on that project, I'm good for creating my own. So
we know that.
I would be reaching out to some women myself, some women and some men actually. I would like to see some female authors and male authors on a calendar where we can promote it and maybe you know use the proceeds to go to some great
Yeah, that's good because I saw that some authors had done that before with Brian W. Smith and some other authors had done that where they did a calendar, I think it was a year before last, and they used the proceeds to go towards something or whatever. But maybe we could use that to help with this relationship book that we still ain't done shit with that we need to get out. And, you know, maybe we can use it to help with that.
Yeah, definitely would be. But I would like to. Yeah, but like I said, I'm good for creating some stuff on my own. I don't like for people procrastinating or not feeding me the information that I need in order to do the work that I need done. So
can you repeat that again? Can you say that one more time? People that do what?
I procrastinate.
You heard it right here. Procrastination is not something that we do. We don't want that. So we got to get this relationship book going. But anyway, we're glad you're here. So you have been doing some things. You have been quite busy.
I'm looking to do now is do two book release parties, because I have, and it was going to be Chicago because I have somewhat a following there, but I decided that probably Sacramento would be a good spot because I have a following there, and I've been requested to come back to Sacramento, and then also here in Kansas where I have a following here, my family can also be a part of.
Okay, so yeah. I got some. When is this book coming out?
This book, July the 18th, actually, officially will be
released. Oh, shit. I won't be ready by then. I was going to say, I got enough books that my new book won't be out by then. What, this Fire and Desire book, I need to find out what's going on with that, because that book was supposed to have been already out, and for some reason, I have not seen anything on that. So I'm going to have to get with Miss Shamore Books. Find out what's going on with that book. It's supposed to have been out. But I'm writing two now, and that book should have been out already, so we're waiting to see what is going on with that, Fire and Desire. People have been asking me, well, where is it at? And I'm like, you tell me, where is it at? Anyway, we know the book's done, or we thought it was, the cover was done. So I'm going to have to ask that question so that we can find that out. Because I was hoping that would be out already, so that we can, have something to work with. And if you did, I was going to offer my services to try to travel a little bit with you to do some stuff. And maybe DV, if he has time, maybe we can do something. DV, I'm supposed to be in Dallas. I know you don't live in Dallas, but I'm supposed to be in Dallas the 8th of July for 2 weeks from that point, from the 8th to 2 weeks. So I'll have a weekend there in Texas. So it's job related, but I'll have time to do what I want to do. So I'm hoping that there'll be some movement or something like that.
Call me after the show. We'll see. Like the weekend, like this whole summer, I'm literally traveling all over the freaking country. Including you, not only for work, but also for weddings. Everybody in the world want to get married in the summer. So.
Okay, so they want you to wed them? I'm trying to figure your part of that.
No, family. Yeah, I'm no minister.
Okay.
A lightning bolt come out the sky and be like, yeah, sorry, buddy. But, we'll talk off. Man, I am not lying to you. My schedule looks something very bleak.
I understand. Gotcha. Just letting you know I'm going to be in town, so if you are around during any of that time.
Evermere, 3.5
Say what?
So Dallas is only 3.5-4 hour drive from here.
Right. Yeah, and the way it's looking now, I'm not going to be driving. But I could possibly do that because I'm going to be – it's only like 8 hours, I think, from here to Dallas. And then I think you 3 more hours down the line, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I used to be stationed down there. I was actually stationed at Fort Hood, which is in the middle of fucking Texas. Yeah, and kill each and every nigga is what I call it. But anyway – I shouldn't have said that. I said that shit online, didn't I? On the radio. Okay. Yeah, kill each and every nigga is what we used to call that. That's what Kalini stands for. But anyway.
They coming after you.
No, they ain't coming after me. But anyway, yeah. So we'll work that out. We'll see if you got time or whatever, and maybe I can get in there, see you or something.
Man. I want to. I just, I need some advance notice so that I'm not making promises.
I'm telling your ass now, goddammit.
Yeah, but you're telling me for the summer, man. The day of summer.
Okay, we're going to work it out. Okay, we'll work it out. Okay, now getting back to Miss Cotton. Are you still there, Miss Cotton?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so
I am here.
You have all this stuff going on. and pictures, getting people all fucked up and shit, looking at parts of you. What is that about?
That is about revenge.
Well,
it's not even so much revenge. It's more like, I was gonna come on here today and apologize to the little girl that came on last week. I didn't mean to tell the truth about her. You know, that I shouldn't have spoke about speaking on her.
Wait a minute.
Speaking
Hold
the
it.
Truth about her.
Wait a minute. Hold it. Did you say you apologize?
I'm apologizing to the little girl for speaking the truth on the air. I should have waited and spoke the truth when I saw her.
Okay, so why the change?
So I'm only apologizing for saying it on the air. I'm not apologizing for what I said.
Okay.
So being that as it may, she went into one of the groups. I posted something. One of the other poets had put on my page, and I posted it. And it was in Poet Radio. So she decides. I didn't know she was in Poet Radio. I don't know her that well. I just know that every time I see her, she's very disrespectful. And
she's
so,
in what radio? What is she?
She's in Poet Radio Group.
Oh, so
and
what
she's
does
not
that
a
mean?
Poet. From my understanding, she's not a poet. I don't know who she is. I don't know what she does. So she went into the group and she started saying all these horrible things about me, calling me the B word, calling me a moose, telling me that.
I saw that shit about a moose. What the fuck was that about? Somebody said she was a moose. What?
My first word to her was, she said something, and I said, stop chasing GPA and find a man. How about you do that? You know, and then she continued on. So I said, you know what? Get off of this post because it's easy to find me. You are friends of mine, so you could have easily inboxed me. You could have came onto my page and said something. But she's posting this on a post that belonged to somebody else. And so he was seeing this, and he was like, you know, he was coming to the defense saying, hey, leave Cotton alone or whatever, whatever. And I just simply said, get off this post with this mess, you know. And I didn't say nothing else. I left it at that. I didn't say nothing else. And her and some other little friend of hers, and they were just going on and on. There were about 30 posts by the time it was done, comments by the time it was done. So I copied and I pasted it, and I put it on my page. I copied and I pasted it, and I sent it to the administrators of that group. I said, I don't want to be in a group where I got to be disrespected and harassed by some, I don't care who they are. I don't tolerate nobody disrespecting anybody, any group that I am an administrator of. The minute you disrespect somebody, you got to go. So I let Jamie Bond know, and I let Black Ice know, and Jamie Bond immediately removed both of those people from the group, and so I didn't have any more problems with them. I let GPA know, because this is his friend. I let him know. I said, I told you last year to get rid of this woman, because these are the kind of people, I don't care who they are. I don't care if, I don't care if anybody, and when I tell you that this person is going to be a problem to the team, you need to get rid of the person that's a problem to the team. If you tell me that somebody is a problem to my team, they have to go. I can't keep them there because I'm trying to build something much greater than tomorrow or whatever they have going on, because they don't have a life of their own to be in, and they just waiting on me to come up so they can jump on board. I don't need those kind of people on my team. I need to know that you got my back. And I told him, I said, now, this is the kind of person that you want to keep around, but she looks real good to the team, posting negative stuff about one of your team members in a group. And she's being very disrespectful. And I said, she didn't approach me directly. She posted this on somebody else's post. This wasn't my post. I just reposted it so I could support this other person.
Isn't it amazing how Facebook has become this new way to bully people and shit?
She did what she did. And so I said, well, you know, I was really angry, and I had to calm myself. And the reason I had to calm myself is because I couldn't get to her fast enough to kick her ass. So I said, it ain't no point in me getting worked up. This is a woman who apparently wants to be in the position that I am in.
Where is she at? Where is she? So
Chicago.
When you kick her ass, I can watch it.
She's in Chicago.
I want to see you fuck her up. But anyway,
I thought she was gonna come on your show and have something more to say, but
she never said anything. The only thing she said that one day was, "Hi, I'm here to support." That was it, and she jumped off. So was she supposed to say more?
That was the second time that she's been on your show, and this is what I tried to tell my partner is that. Because he thought that she was saying that she comes to support you. I said, no, she don't come on the show to support Ray.
I don't even know who
she comes
she
on
is.
When you're on. She's a nobody.
I don't know who she is, so why would he use me
as a nobody. Because that's what he thought she was saying. I said, no, that's not what she said. What she said was she's been on the show before, yeah, because the last time she came on, you were on here, so she came on to say what she had to say. I didn't have anything to say to her then, but this time I did. I had something to say about her, and I didn't call her the B word. I don't feel like I disrespected her. I spoke the truth, and that's what I did. She didn't like that I spoke the truth on the air and embarrassed her in front of other people. That's the problem. Mm. So after she did that, I said, you know what, since I'm such the moose, and let me get me some pictures in. And then
why does she call you? What does she look like? What does
she
look like?
She looked like a woman trying, she looked like a man trying to be a woman. That's exactly what she looked like. She looked like.
Let me ask you this. I'm getting nosy now. I'm getting fucking nosy now. Is old boy into her or something? Because a fan is a fan. You ain't gotta be a fan that deep with a fan. You know what I'm saying? If you got a renegade fan, you don't. Especially when it's your partner. You know what I'm saying? And you're trying
to
keep the peace between your partner. So is there something going on there?
According to her post, there is something going on between her and GTA. That's according to her. I don't know, and I don't have time to care. All I know is when I feel like as your partner and we're doing some work together and we're trying to get some things going and we're supposed to be a team. If I feel like somebody's being disrespectful, you better damn well have my back. And it's not a one-time thing that I've told you about her before, because she's one of those people who will call him up on the back end and start mess with and tell him about some stuff that don't have nothing to do with him. That's none of his business, but just to keep up mess going. She's one of those kind of women.
I said,
I don't tolerate that kind of stuff. She's the kind of girl that would sleep with him knowing he's married to somebody else. That's the kind of woman she is. That's who. That's her. So according to her, she is having a relationship with GPA, and that's her business. That's his business if that's what he want to do. But she's also a problem to whatever it is that you're trying to. Because she's not. Let me put it this way. If I'm seeing you, Red or DV, either one of y'all. If I'm seeing you and I like you so much, I'm gonna do everything in my power to support whatever you have going on. That means if I'm the woman in your life, then I'm pushing what you have going on because I believe in you that much. I'm not showing up here and there just to see what woman is trying to kick it with you so I can say something about her later. I'm not just sleeping with you on the side whenever I get a chance. I'm trying to support what you have going on because I want to see you succeed. I'm not going to start trouble with other people. I'm not going to come and be disrespectful. I'm not going to sit where you have a show going on with my mouth poked out, or I'm not listening, or I'm texting, or I'm talking on the phone, or I'm leaving the room while you're doing what you do. I'm going to be right there with you, and I'm going to support what you have going on because that's what a real woman does. Whether there's something serious or not, if you're the person that likes that person, you're going to make sure that they're supported, whether you're best friends, best buddies, lovers, or husband and wife, or whatever it is you got going on. She's just downright disrespectful, and I told him about her too. I told him about her actually a year ago. It's probably been a little over a year ago. And I told him, I said, she is going to be a problem. You need to get rid of her. He didn't listen. She's still doing the same thing. So my conclusion is that's somebody you're sleeping with, according to her, but don't drag me in the middle of it. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I mean, if he's not letting it go, I mean,
in the middle of the mess.
I look at it like this, and I'm not saying he is. I'm not saying he is or isn't, and it really doesn't matter. But usually when people act that way and they don't want to drop that person or they don't want to, defuse the situation the way it could be done, there's usually more than what they're saying. So we'll just leave it there.
Right.
You know, it's usually more than that. So my thing is hopefully you guys will get it together. If not, the saga continues. And if you whip her ass, I hope I can see that shit.
No, as far as I'm concerned, done. Like I said, the reason I took the pictures is to show how much of a moose. I mean, I'm the sexiest moose I've ever seen in my life. Like, I don't even know.
According to her,
you know. But hey, I think I look good. You know what I'm saying? Like,
okay,
and I'm not gonna let anybody take that away from me.
I know that's right. We got this area code 214. I want to see if you got a question. Don't hang up if you don't. Do you have a question? Area code 214.
No, sir, I do not have a question.
Well, what's your name?
This is Gilmore.
It's who?
Oh, you talking to the devil.
It's who? Say that name again.
Gilmore.
What's going on?
Hello,
you doing?
How are you? I'm good.
I'm fine. We're glad that you was able to call in.
I think I got a request to call in, but I didn't want to interrupt the conversation. I was listening.
The request is, I just wanted to ask you something. You putting all these pictures out just like Cotton was doing, letting everybody see how y'all fine y'all is and shit. And then, and since you're here, I just want to ask a question about the Fire and Desire. Can you give us an update on that real quick?
I sure can. The update is, it's looking like it's still going to be summer. I'm hoping, from what I'm hearing, that it might be the middle of June. So my fingers are crossed for that.
Okay.
But I will know for sure in the next week or two. So I will be sending out some more information. But you are welcome to share the book cover and hype it up and all those good things.
Okay, so let me ask you this, since you're here. Man, see, Cotton was putting pictures on because she said somebody called her a moose and she had to let them know she ain't, which I don't know how they can call her that. So what was your reasons for putting your pictures up?
You know, every now and then I do like to update, you know, my pictures. Because I do have pictures on here, that my profile pic, that's last year's picture. So I do like to keep you abreast of what things are. I'm proud to be a plus size woman. I'm good with that. So.
You just wanted to let everybody see you. Okay.
See what? I'm good.
You just wanted everybody to see you. You wanted everybody to see you. I'm messing with you. Can't you take that? I mean, damn. Hey, DV, it's funny because I put some pictures. I had to let her know my reaction. She thought that I was playing with her when I said she looked nice and everything. So the reaction picture that I had sent back to her was this. I took some pictures. Did you see those pictures of Tiger Woods when he came out the damn club drunk and shit and his eyes was bucked out of his head? Well, I sent her pictures of that shit. I had to send him to you so you see what he looked like. Because they was talking about him on ESPN about how fucked up he was looking coming out the club, and this woman was upset with him because his eyes was bucked out of his head. Like he was high on some crack or something. So I sent her those pictures. I'm going to send them to you so you can see what I'm talking about. You might even make it your profile picture.
You might be right. I like my profile picture right now, so
yeah,
I'm going to go ahead and leave it where it is.
Yeah, he has some of the most entertaining profile pictures I've ever seen.
Right. And Cotton, you still there, right, baby?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You know, Cotton, I don't know how people can... Now you know Shamor, right? Shamor Books. She's a beautiful woman. Both of y'all beautiful, beautiful, healthy women. I love y'all. And some people are just jealous when they see big women, and they just don't know what to do. So this girl tried to call Cotton a moose. And I want to see what the fuck she looks like, really. I just really want to see, because this shit has got me tripping. So,
She's GPA's friend. Her name is Karina, My Black is Beautiful something. Karina, My Black. Her name is on that posting that I post where she's calling me. She's saying all these horrible things about me.
So where is that post, though? Where is it located?
It's on my Facebook page.
So it's on your page. I can go to your page and her name would be there. Okay, I'm going to do that.
You'll see it. You'll see it in the post. And so, you know, because every now and then I get, women like that. And so I repost some of the stuff that they say, because I also repost what I'm saying to them, because all I do is copy and I paste so that people can, this is what I deal with. Every 6 months I get a woman like this who has something to say to me about, and it's always about a man. It's never about anything that I've said to them or done to them. It's always regarding they think that I want their man, or they're trying to see a man that, and it's the GP. I've had disputes about GPA at least 4 or 5 times.
You have, and I don't understand it. I really don't. But you're right. You have, and I'm just wondering, what is it? Okay, now what is it? Her name is what again? I'm on your page now. I'm just doing this for myself, people. So I want to see this shit. Go ahead.
Her name is Karina. My Black is Beautiful. You have to see. You have to go to the post to see it.
I gotta get past your legs. Anyway, is.
I don't think you said that right, but okay.
Oh, I didn't do that.
I think
people
he
gonna
said
think,
it right.
People are going to think I'm in the same room with you and shit. No,
did.
No, I, okay.
I think
all
that's
right,
how
well,
he meant it.
Yeah, I
think so.
Y'all got me all to up. Now, Miss Lady, Miss Shamor. What you got going on? Because don't you got something new? I mean, did you publish that person that you was trying to publish, or what? What's going on?
I'm waiting on Mr. Mann. He actually has some surgery, so we're waiting on that.
Oh, so
but
my
I
book could have been
I
out by now
some,
and shit.
Yeah, well,
I could have had you first.
You're right.
You sure. That's all right. You doing what you got to do.
But it's okay.
It's okay.
I did. I have a blog talk show because you are my inspiration.
Oh my God! When am I coming on it? When are we coming on it?
When is it? Because I've been hearing about it, but I haven't heard any.
What day do you actually do your show?
It's Wednesday night.
Oh, Wednesdays.
Yeah,
okay.
Wednesday
well,
night. And I had your favorite person on last week.
So how can you yeah, what person on last week? Who?
Omar Tariq.
Oh, so I can't come on because I ain't famous.
Whatever, that's not true.
Yeah, Omar Tariq on your show. Well, that's good.
Yeah, because
I'm in a book.
A
I'm in a book with him. Shit, I'm in a book with that motherfucker.
Yeah.
Sometime or somewhere. I mean, I called him a motherfucker. I call Omar Tariq a motherfucker. Ain't that wrong?
I think damn, after that show, a few people called him that.
Oh yeah, he must have fucked up. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, we talk about, I have a topic every week and we discuss it. So when you come on, you don't just, you know, you don't just promote yourself. You're actually in a
kind of like what we do, huh? Okay. All right. Yeah. I got that.
And, well,
okay.
we have a topic and most of the time it's the same. It's pretty much the people that I kind of talk to on Facebook. And so he came in and I had the question, the topic that we were ready to discuss, and he was, you know, kind of stuck on the way the question was posed. And, you know, it's one of those battle of the sexes kind of things, because I have a male co-host and then my viewpoint, and, you know, sometimes we clash. And, you know,
who's the male
kinda,
co-host? Do we know him?
Well, we don't have one per se yet. I'm kind of trying out a few people. Last week it was Shakir Rashawn. He's a writer with Zane right now. Well, he's writing with Zane. You'll know him soon. And
okay.
He was co-hosting last week. So
okay,
and I thought
with
that
Zane
was really good for, you know.
Wow, he wrote for Zane. Okay, all right, go ahead.
Well,
I'll
just tell you what he does, so you can
okay
kind of put him in the mix. You'll know who he is. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
I had the two eyes, you know, kind of pitted together, because you know Omar's kind of, you know, old stages there, you know, kind of old viewpoint,
old.
And then he had old viewpoint. So I called him old.
His ass is old.
I mean, call
like, he probably like me, though, huh?
He just wasn't ready for some of the new stuff that happened.
So tell us, what's new that's under the sun that we don't know about?
Oh, I'm sure you probably know.
Okay, I know.
Yeah.
But Omar,
yeah,
though, I mean, don't he write?
Well, he said he does it. He said he does it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That was his idea. He was sticking to that. We couldn't sway him one way or the other.
Okay. So Cotton dropped off. I hope she comes back. But anyway, all right. So that
yeah,
was
but
good.
I'm
so
on.
You,
I can't wait
so
to have you two guys on. Yeah. Yeah.
When do you want us on? You got to let us know when you want us.
Well, you know, I'm just making sure. I'm just kind of priming the pump here, make sure it's okay.
Do you want us at the same time or you want us separately?
No,
how
no,
you
no,
want
no,
that?
No.
Oh, man.
One at a time.
Okay. It's okay if you get DV first. It's all right. They like him better than me anyway.
Man, I prefer
I can't cuss on your
time.
Show, right?
I don't
you
play second fiddle for no one.
Say what?
I said I don't finish that. I'm not going in after nobody else. You know, that's
there you go.
Oh, DV, are you playing into this too?
Yeah, he is. He want to go first, so I got to be
talking about interview.
I'm so not used to that. DV, you see, kind of hold out. You don't play into it. You just got stuck right in.
I
got
to do the sloppy second.
I
shit.
Am hosting.
Damn.
I don't know. Y'all have such nasty minds. I was talking about interview.
That's what I'm talking about. Sloppy second in the interview.
Red has never only been talking about interviews ever.
We haven't. We always talk about interviews, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
See, it's you know.
How
what?
Long is your show? Is it an hour, 2 hours? What, one
yeah,
hour?
It's only
minutes,
an hour. Just an hour.
Yeah, well.
Okay. I'm not ready for 2 hours. I'm not a big girl yet.
Mm.
Oh, you sure about that? Because
you're like, you ain't really did nothing until you had 2 hours
you,
worth
you
of
seem
work.
To be a, you seem to be a grown-up to me. But anyway, all right. Well, just let me know when you want me. It's on a Wednesday, so I just, you know, let me know when you, as long as it's not the first Wednesday of every month, I can come on
okay.
any Wednesday besides the first, every first Wednesday, I cannot.
Is that
any
your man?
Wednesday,
is that when you have your man
what?
Period?
I do.
That's
you know,
funny,
I'm,
what?
I'm a dancer, and I
you
dance.
You have your dance recital.
What we have, we call Social Club Wednesdays, and that happens on the first Wednesday of every month. My dance
okay.
group, and we're all in that group, and we work that. So
that's cool.
I do that. But any other Wednesday, I can do it or whatever.
That's beautiful. I got you.
So you just let me know when you are ready.
See,
for
I didn't even have to beg.
Snap.
I didn't have to beg because I know you're.
Of course
you, know.
You don't. Well, I mean, you support all the time. Why can't I support you? And I guess you're going to have all the authors on your show since they didn't come on mine. I thought we were going to have the Fine Desire authors on this show.
Well,
but
we can't
reason,
do both shows.
Happen.
I don't understand. There's enough people
well,
to go around.
Who said we couldn't?
Oh, you did.
But
you just said
no.
That.
Well, I mean, because you didn't have a show before, and now you do.
And
I've always had a show, and the moms didn't want to come over here for some reason. And now that
I know how to
probably,
share.
They'll probably go to your show first, and then they'll come to me. And
I know how to share.
Do you?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. You heard it on Word Sexy Radio. She knows how to share.
All right.
All right. So, Cotton, you heard her say that, right?
Yes, I did.
But Cotton knows exactly what I meant.
Well, see, Cotton, I have to say, all those pictures of legs that are now on your site, I mean, damn near every other picture is legs. Wow. I did ask for some and some pictures, and I'm getting them now.
Well, you know.
All because of some heifer talking shit. Ain't that a bitch? I love it.
Well, if you look at one of the pictures, it says, "This is my rebuttal for being called a moose."
Oh, I read it. I saw it. I read it.
And then, of course, I blocked her, and, yeah.
I still ain't found her. I don't know what the fuck she looked like, but it's okay.
I don't know. She might have got off Facebook. She might have got off Facebook.
Oh, I doubt it. That's probably
yeah.
her only
she's,
out
she's
there,
GP,
right?
She's GPA's friend, and,
right,
so.
Right. Yeah. It's amazing how his friends, it's amazing how his friends react to you and shit in such a manner that, it's always like they're trying to fuck him, and he just ain't touching them, but they just really after his ass. It's amazing.
Well, that's, anyway. It's not even that. It's like women have the tendency to think when you let them get away with stuff like that, they'll continue the cycle. If you're trying to accomplish something, you can't have. But the difference, as I've said, and this is how I've been my entire life, I'm not going to have some man. If I ain't sleeping with him, he don't have the authority to say nothing about what I'm doing.
Okay,
I don't care. And I'm not going to let him, and he's not going to tamper into what I'm doing in my personal business or my business. It's not going to happen. And it's never happened. It's never happened in any of my relationships. No man has ever had to call up another man and say, what you doing, my woman? Because I don't do that. No man has ever had to call me, are you spending too much time? No, we're not doing that because it's not your place to check him. It's not your place to say anything to him. You let me know if you got a problem. And if I want to handle it, then I'll handle it. If it's not your business, I'm going to tell you it's not your business, and we're going to keep moving forward.
So this must go with that poem, I'm obsessed with you, because that's what I'm getting. I'm seeing they're obsessed.
Excellent segue there, Red. Excellent.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with you.
Right.
I'm obsessed with you, and I just want to be with you.
It just keeps trickling over and over, like because of the ROTO thing, it started there, of course, because I pull off this shirt, and the shirt's got GPA's picture on it, and it says, meet the most electrifying man at Portrait, and it has this thing on the back, of course. But this is my doing it. So now you got women in the audience trying to figure out why they can't get a shirt like that.
Okay, I'm just trying to figure it out. I mean, I ain't trying to, don't take this wrong, audience, people that are listening. I'm not calling this man ugly. I'm just saying that... What is it about this man that just turns him on? Is it the poetry?
Is it the cockiness?
It's the poetry.
Words
are the most powerful form of communication.
Right.
Right.
But it crosses over into personal, because I write poetry too, and I get men sending me stuff all the time, marriage proposals, the whole nine. But I bet you none of them will ever show up and be disrespectful to anybody that's in the room with me. Period. Because I've already let it be known, you cannot have a relationship with me. End of story.
Well, yeah, I know. And it won't be them anyway. It'll be their wives and shit. It'll be their wives and the motherfuckers, the girlfriend or somebody who
it's about being honest and having the control of. It's about being in control of the situation.
So do you have any groupies that do you like that? Just be all up in the damn state while you doing your books down there, out there sitting there looking at you masturbating and shit.
What?
Because that's what it seems like. I know that's not really what's going on, but I'm just saying. I mean, they obsessed with you and shit and all this. I'm like, what? Do you have that happen to you, BB?
Not that I know of.
I don't have that kind of shit. Motherfuckers don't like me.
Because if you masturbating at a book reading, then you have more issues than I possibly deal with.
It ain't got to be known. I mean, they could be playing with their shit under their damn dress or under a table that nobody can see what they're doing. I might have some Benoit balls or something in their shit.
Well,
and they're looking
fine
at you and moving around, and I'm obsessed with you and all this shit.
But don't come up to me and be like, guess what? I got Benoit balls in my dress listening to you read, because that's not cool.
You wouldn't get turned on over that shit, BB. That shit wouldn't fuck you up, man. Not at all.
Not least. No.
No, not at the least.
No, because, If I was 21, it'd be different. But at this point in my life, there are certain things that you just like,
cool.
You just... Kind of lay that one go.
That's right.
Do we want to believe that shit or what? Is that
if
really
somebody
true?
Walk up to me and be like, guess what? I ain't wearing no panties. I'm going to be like, get some on.
Really? Yeah, I ain't gonna tell a motherfucker get some on. I'm gonna be like, okay, you ain't wearing no panties, but you know.
No, I mean, if she come into the house, that's different. But if she's meeting me out in public and she ain't got no drawers on,
let's just hope that the bitch pussy don't stink.
But when it's not somebody you're in a relationship with or somebody you're dating, it's not. It don't really have the same effect to you after you turn a certain age. When like DV said, when you're young and people are like, oh, okay, you know. But
I'm
when you turn
too,
a certain
but if
age,
Shamar
like,
walks up to me.
Yeah,
she said that
but
she got pinball balls in and shit. I'm okay. All right.
You know her.
I do.
But
I do know her, don't I?
If some, you know.
Okay. All right. We got 9 minutes. Go ahead. Go ahead, BB. Finish.
No, but what I'm saying is, there's a point in time where randomness is like, ooh, okay, you know, I can deal with that. But, you know, the older you get.
So when is the age that
you're
supposed to stop liking that shit? Because I'll be 52 in September and shit like that.
You a dirty old man. But we all know that.
Come on, man. When is that shit I'm not saying I look for that, but I'm just saying.
You a damn lie. You do be looking for it. You like, if you wearing panties, you can't come to my book reading.
Exactly.
Yeah, I said it.
He passed
out
at the door.
You know what I'm saying? He be like, you know,
I
passed
the pinball balls at the door. Put these mugs in before you come in. Okay.
Before you come in here.
Then be like, wait a minute.
Damn.
I feel a panty line here. You got to go. You can't stay here.
You got to go.
Wow. Okay, well, you know, I mean, it's somebody,
nice when everybody knows you, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I'm in the chat room. The chat room is saying yes. What is that yes for? The person that said yes. Why did you say yes? Okay. What does that mean? I guess they're saying that I want to give people the rubber or the balls and all the pinball balls to say, here, stick them in. That's a requirement.
You probably
hand
them out at the door, but like these are.
Oh,
these
they,
are
oh now
slightly
they're saying I'm dirty. Dirty, dirty. They say I'm dirty. Okay, you're right. I'm dirty. I am a dirty ass old guy, I guess.
Ain't nothing wrong.
Shamar, I'm sorry, Shamar.
The fact of the matter is, if you couldn't admit that, then I'd be worried.
Just don't put the red dress on again, okay? My eyes will pop out like Tiger Woods.
Yes, sir. I probably should take that down because that caused you a little excitement before you.
Well, a lot of people were talking shit about it. I mean, you know, it was a nice little dress and everything, and you were just looking nice like you always do. So it doesn't really matter what you wear. I mean, even that one picture that you have up a lot, the one that I think it's on your profile picture, the one where you were posing and you have this fur top on, and you know, everybody trips on that one too. So it's not just me. It's not. I'm not the only freaky guy, okay?
You
know, there's other motherfuckers
so
out there.
They're beautiful.
There's some other motherfuckers out there that's masturbating or jacking off or whatever you want to call it.
Wow.
I know I'm being nasty, okay? Those out there in the radio land, I'm sorry. You hear me? This is explicit word sex and grown folks radio.
You
so,
know what? And people
what?
Don't do that. Just because that's your pastime doesn't mean everybody else does that.
Everybody jacks off.
Does.
Fuck that.
What you talking
everybody
about?
Masturbates. All day. People play. If they're washing their ass.
Oh, my
listen,
God.
No.
If you're washing your shit while you're in the
if
shower, you're playing with yourself. Yes.
Oh, my God.
People play with it. Everybody. I'll say 80% of people do. I'll give it 20, and that's probably too much that don't. I would say 95% of people do play with themselves some kind of way.
Okay. I'm not going to be the one to test out your statistics, so.
There's a toy or something that's involved somewhere.
You're doing it again.
I'm not doing a survey.
Yes.
I'm not
DB,
walking up
to
people.
So, Cotton, do you believe that, or do you think I'm exaggerating?
This is a trick question.
Themselves.
No matter
you know
what
everybody
I'm saying,
play with
themselves.
You know everybody play with themselves. Come on, we got 6 minutes. Come on.
Yeah, I don't think so.
You don't think everybody play with themselves? Why am I the only motherfucker that think like that? Come on. Really? Do you think that people don't do it?
Man, look,
it's natural. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying everybody. I said 95% maybe.
Maybe the other
5% don't.
That's a high percentage.
So you say 80% do and maybe 20 don't? I don't think it's less than that. I would go down to 75, and I can't go no lower than that.
Then that means three out of the four people on this phone would be jacking off.
Just
And the reason why I'm saying that is because the only reason why they probably think it's wrong is because they've been told it was. Somewhere down the line in their life, they think it's not right. The church or someone has told them if they play with their cells, they're going to fucking grow hair in their hands and they ain't going to be able to, they're going to look stupid and they're going to get some kind of disease or some shit.
I used to wear t-shirts that said that. They said every time you masturbate, God kills a kitten.
Aww. See what I'm saying? See, that's just one way of them to get you to not play with yourself. But yeah, I'm going to tell you, when I was 11 years old and I had that first freeze from playing with my shit, when I accidentally pulled that motherfucker a couple of times, I've been addicted ever since, like crack.
Yeah, we know that. We know
but that. That doesn't mean I'm the only guy.
No, of course not.
There's other motherfuckers out there.
No, we're not saying you're not the. We're not saying you're the only, you know, dirty old man in history. But what we are saying is that, like, you know, it's hard to put numbers on things like that because no matter how open people are, they still ain't gonna tell you that. Now, white people will just tell you, "Yeah, I jack off like 3 times a day."
That's the black people. Black people just don't talk.
Like jack off, that's nasty. Then they go home like jerk, 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 jerk.
Or they're on the phone right now, like they're saying, "Oh man, I don't jack off." They playing with this shit now, you know?
Right? How dare you ask me that question? I would never do anything.
How
like
dare
that.
You?
Check,
right?
Check, 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 check.
Yeah, yeah. Play, 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 play. You know, they're probably looking at the picture of fucking what's her name, Monique now, that's skinny, and probably jacking like a motherfucker.
Really?
Did you see that picture?
I don't care now.
I'm just saying. No, not me either. But I'm just saying, she's real skinny now and.
She's a traitor. She always talks shit on that. Remember,
before she won that Academy Award, remember, she was always doing hard jokes was about skinny bitches. Now she's one of them.
Yeah. She's a hypocrite.
So now we'll talk about that. That'll be one of our subjects. How you going to be a traitor like that?
Hey, that's just like, you know, like, I know, don't give me the talk. Because, you know, like, I know the Kardashians aren't white, you know, that they're Middle Eastern, but still, you know, Kanye always warned about, you know, black people running to the white girl, and that's essentially what he did. He's like, man, screw y'all black women. I love me some white women.
Oh, Kanye?
Yeah. He did it in a heartbeat. Oh, Kim single?
Yeah.
Let me get on that train.
Well, she wasn't single. She's still married. Did she just get divorced?
No. I think she's still
she's still married, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you know, that's the only woman that can commit adultery and be in the limelight.
Yeah. Because the illusion is she's white and she's not.
Well, she's not white. You're right. But we thank you, Shemoyne, for coming on and with your grace and loveliness and Cotton, you too as well. Both of y'all are so beautiful.
Thank you for it.
We thank you both for coming on and being happy with who you are. That's what it's all about. And giving rid of thrill and being a dirty old man that I am, that everybody seems to say in the chat room and shit, that I'm fucked up. But, you know, I mean, at least I know where I am. I know who I am. I jack off. Fuck it, I do. I write my books, and if the scene ain't getting me off, then it ain't worth putting it in.
We love you anyway, even though after you, as soon as you get off this phone, you be like, how dare they talk about me? Jack, 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 jack.
I will. I'm probably doing it now. Shit, you know
me. That is not something I want to lay down in my bed.
No, that's okay. I'm not. Really, I'm not.
BB's presence.
No. It's not happening now, Radio Lab, just so you know. But I'm getting ready to get off because we got like 1 minute left and But, you know, I really thank you guys, like I said. And you said June, we may have it in June, is what you're saying.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Well, let me know.
I will keep you posted.
All right.
Man, we listen to your show.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, let me know about the show. Good night, sweetheart. Let me know about the show so we can get on there, okay?
I sure will. Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.